Good morning, brothers and sisters. How you doing? Winter is coming soon, right? You excited about it? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the body of Christ, your church. Lord, would you please, through your own promise, that wherever and whenever two or three are gathered in your name, that you are present. Therefore, in your holy presence this morning, speak to our heart, and through us, bring many more people throughout the world to your holy family, the church. And Lord, whoever is feeling sickness in his or her body this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, extend your healing hand upon him, her, so that Lord, he will continue to serve you for many years to come. Bless our fellowship and our worship today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a true joy, a true honor for my wife Karen, our five children, and myself to be here this morning again. Thank you so much for giving us the privilege to be back home here again. And you know, part of my tradition is I'm a guest speaker. I travel from church to church. So sometimes I go beyond the clock here. But don't worry, next Sunday I'm not coming back. In that tradition, before I preach, I will always present a song in my tribal language or trade national language in Bamara. So this morning, before we speak on the topic that God has put on my heart for myself and for you, I would like to present to you and to our Lord Jesus Christ this song in Bamara. The meaning of the song is this: there is no sin in heaven. There's only peace. There's no darkness in heaven. There's light. In heaven, there's no sickness. There's healing. And we end that in heaven, we have Jesus. Peace, peace, peace. Let's listen to that song.
Hear me, please.
Okay. Jirumu, you hear Jirumu, Jirumu a lot. Jirumu is sin. Okay? Jirumu is sin. And Aligene is heaven.
Jirumu te ye. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Again, the PowerPoint is there. Again, I think I told you this before. One of my professors at Tyndale, I see one here already. Brother, God bless you. One of my professors at Tyndale, he, in his preaching, he never used PowerPoint. But he will say this, I don't have PowerPoint, but my point will be powerful. Okay? So today we have point, PowerPoint, and I hope the point will be powerful in God. Brother and sisters, the church, God's salt and light to the world. Now, for those of us who have been going to church for many, many years of our lives, when you hear the word church, what comes to your mind first? What comes to your mind? Building. Who else? When you hear about church, does it excite you or you get angry? Well, thinking about that, eh? A lot of people have run away from the church because in their own world, in one way or another, these are a bunch of hypocrites. For some, church is the place where they've been hurt. For some, church is a place where they've been destroyed in their lives. That might be true in one way or another. But brother and sister, you and I need to understand church from the perspective of the one who has created church. So for that, we will learn about... Sorry. Is it working? Could you help there, please? Technology, I see. Perfect. What is church? According to the New English Bible Dictionary, it defines the church as follows. Church may be used to signify the entire body of those who are saved by the relation to Christ. I put that point in bold because that's what will be our focus today. And another way of understanding church, a Christian particular denomination. You are the Baptist. Praise the Lord for Baptists, right? And my denomination background, as I mentioned to you, I'm the Alliance, Christian Mission Alliance. It's the aggregate of the ecclesiastical communion professing faith in Christ, or for a single organized Christian group, or as some of our brothers and sisters said, a building designated for Christian worship. All this might be true. But at the end of the day, brothers and sisters, the real church that God and the Bible is speaking about is the assembly of men and women, like you and me, I hope, who have relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that church is both universal and local. This church is made visible through the local church like you're here in this city. And that church is made of those, again, are called disciples, who have put their trust in God through Jesus Christ. And in our text, Matthew chapter 5:13, we see that Jesus Christ, in Matthew 5:1-2, we have a crowd and we have disciples. Matthew 5:1-2, now when he saw the crowds, he went on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, I like that. Brothers and sisters, there will always be the crowd of the crowds. Here, pieces of information about Jesus Christ. And alongside the crowd, there will be those people who have stepped out of their comfort zone to put their trust in this Jesus Christ and became and become what you call the disciple. Now you see the crowd and the disciple. And again, the disciple are the one who have put their trust in Jesus Christ, and by doing so have become what we call the church, the assembly of those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. And the question to you and to me this morning, I don't know you. God knows you. Are you still part of the crowd this morning, or are you part of a disciple? This is very important. Because from this point forward, we're going to find the importance of mission. The mission we'll be speaking about is not given to the crowds. The mission is given to the disciples. Therefore, hear the question. Are you part of a crowd? You see, you might be born in a Christian family like myself, and you have gone to church your whole life. You have been to many, many fancy buildings. But at the end of the day, that doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a disciple. As I told you before, my own father is a pastor. I grew up reading the Bible every day. But one thing I know, my parents never pushed me to become a follower of Jesus Christ. It's through the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God at home, and sometimes to see my own father preaching the gospel from the pulpit, that on an Easter day, that God stirred my heart through the sermon of my father, and I walked to him after the service and said, "Dad, I would like to give my life to Jesus Christ." And he led me through prayer. And I always enjoy this story because you know what? My father and my mother could have pushed me. "You're a pastor, son. You have to be a follower of Jesus Christ." They never did. And I believe if I had never made that decision, I would be going in the crowd every day in the church and then think, "Well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ," and I'm not. Therefore, brothers and sisters, are you still part of the crowd, or are you part of a disciple? And if you're part of a disciple, understand, brothers and sisters, that yes, your mission, most of the time our mission is so emphasized, focused on the doing. Doing mission. But brothers and sisters, let you and I understand that there's a being side of mission. And this is crucial. The being side of mission. And that's why before we come to what our sister read for us, from Matthew 5, 6, 13 to 16, Jesus took his time from verse 1 to verse 10 to explain to the disciples, "Yes, I'm going to send you to mission. But you better understand that your first important step in mission is, who are you in me?" Therefore, brothers and sisters, before we jump to go to Maui, the Lord bless you, my sister, before we go to Taiwan, before we go to Thailand, before we go to Quebec, let you and I understand that Jesus took time from verse 1 to verse 10. To let you and I know by his teaching that the most important part of your first step in mission is, who are you, the being side of mission. And to distinguish you from the crowd. Because you see, it's not just enough for me to step out there and say, "Dad, I want to be a Christian." And my father led me through a written prayer, and then that's it. The next step is, through the teaching of the Word of God, to start to see who I am in my new being in Christ. That's my new mission. Your being, my being in Christ, is the very first important aspect of mission. Don't neglect it. Therefore, yes, doing mission in other parts of the world is great, but wherever you and I go, let the being mission be in our heart, in our mind, every day. Because without that being strengthened, your doing and mission will amount to nothing. And therefore, brothers and sisters, from verse 1 to verse 3 to verse 10, you see the Jesus values and the values of the cow, the values of the willow. There's a sharp difference between them. Now, on the left side, you see Jesus' value. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And the values of the crowd on the right side tell you, blessed are those who are self-confident, competent, and self-reliant. Nobody can save himself or herself. The only one can be saved by Jesus Christ is to understand that, spiritually speaking, I'm a dead person, I'm broken. I'm poor. I can't help myself. I cannot save myself. Blessed are the one poor in spirit. Oh, and the world hate it. Because they want to prove to God, to themselves, to the rest of the world, I am the one, I'm making my own life, including my spiritual life. The new being in Jesus Christ starts on the opposite side. I am broken, Jesus. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead woman spiritually. Jesus, without you, God, without you, I'm nothing. Are you poor in spirit? If you're not poor in spirit, you're self-reliant. Guess what? You're part of a crowd. And I'm afraid it won't end well. Jesus' value in the new being that we are being built. Blessed are those who mourn. On the other side in the crowd, they say, blessed are those, instead of mourning, the pleasure-seeking, hedonistic, the beautiful people. Blessed are those who are meek. On the contrary, values in the crowd, they said, blessed are those who are proud, powerful, and important. Meekness is not weakness. It's quite the opposite. Sometimes the world confuses meekness with weakness. You look weak. But you know what, brother? It's the strength of God demonstrated in gentleness, in care. That's meekness. We continue with our values of who we are in Christ. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. And the world said, blessed are those who are satisfied, well-adjusted, and practical. Verse 7 tells us, in your new being in Christ, blessed are those who are merciful. And the world said, blessed are those who are self-righteous, able to take care of themselves. In verse 8, Jesus tells us, in our new being, blessed are those who are pure in heart. And I love this, because they will see God. They will see God. But the world said, blessed are the adults, sophisticated, broad-minded. I understand it all on my own. But I'm afraid they will not see God. And the world will continue to believe, yes, in verse 9, that blessed are those who are competitive, aggressive. Jesus said, you and me in our being, blessed are we when we are peacemakers. In verse 10, blessed are you, brother, in your new being, to be a persecuted person because of righteousness. And the world said, blessed are you when you are adaptable, popular, and don't rock the boat. Brothers and sisters, may the Lord help you and me to be this new being that Jesus wants us to become. It's completely for you and me trying to swim against the current. The current is going this way, and you're trying to go against it. It's never going to be easy. But brothers and sisters, your mission to be effective, you better and I better understand this new being that Christ wants us to be. And that's why I like this quotation from Charles. He says this doing is usually connected with a vocation or a career. How we make a living. Being is much deeper. Very important. Being is much deeper. It relates to character, who we are, and how we make a life. You and I, as I told you, I have been a missionary myself for 6 years in Senegal. My sister is going to be a missionary By God's grace in January, we're praying for that. The easy thing for me was to wake up every morning and take my Bible and go to the University of Dakar, the capital city, and meet the Muslim students to share the gospel with them. And to put a table to expose the Bible and Christian literature. That was doing for me. But you know what? When I go back home, I was sharing an apartment with two other gentlemen, one from Ivory Coast and another one from Benin. When I go back home, after my doing mission in university, my real being show up at home. My real being shows up at home. And those gentlemen from Ivory Coast and Benin who really know, yes, Nuhum is doing all this in the university campus, but who is he really? And that was something always in my mind. And as I moved away from there, I came to Canada to be a student at Kindale. And by God's grace, got married and have my beautiful wife here and have 5 children. And as a guest speaker, today I'm doing my ministry here. But you know what? At the end of the day, when I walk back home, my wife, my 5 children, she's here. You know what? The most important thing I'm always mindful of is that in the eye of my wife, in the eye of my children, who is really Nuhum? That's the answer that always concerns me. Because you see, at the end of the day, in a few minutes, we'll be just over here. And as I say, I might not come back again. But at the end of this 15 minutes here, I'm going back home. And that's where the real who I am will show up. And therefore, brothers and sisters, I know, yes, doing mission is important, but at the end of the day, who are you at home? Who are you in your workplace? When you close your eyes and ask this question to your wife, honey, who do you really think I am? You better listen to that answer from her. And vice versa. Your husband asks you, or you ask your husband, honey, who am I? Husband, be honest. Don't lie. And the husband answer, you better listen to that answer. Otherwise, whatever doing mission you're going to do will be useless. And brothers and sisters, yes, does it mean that we're going to be perfect? No. And this is the amazing part. The being tired, it looks like we need to be perfect before we go to mission. No. And that's why you and I, we are so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ that mission from His church, Christ Church, is still under His construction. I like that. Matthew 16:18 says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gate of Hades will not prevail, it will not overcome it. And again, remember that the church we're talking about is not a building. It's not a wall, it's you and me. Husband at home, wife at home. Missionary going somewhere else. But at the end of the day, Jesus said, I'm building my church. I'm glad that we are not building ourselves, poor in spirit. And you know, I learned this for those who are constructors here, builder here. Is there anyone here in building business? Please raise your hand. Nobody? Wow, you. Nobody's building business here. But I tell you from Africa and here, understand that any construction site is messy, ugly, and imperfect. And put your life in this picture. Your life construction toward perfection will always be messy. It won't be quick. It won't be quick. Yet, for those who remain in the hand of a constructor, the construction work is in progress. All of us are in work in progress. Praise the Lord for this. And in that work in progress, as the constructor Jesus working on us, be patient with Him. The construction process requires patience and perseverance. Husband, you're upset with your wife. If your wife is in Christ, be patient with her. Wife, your husband is a messy man. Be patient with him. Christ is still working on him. And the good news is this, for all of us, the perfection they're waiting for, it will never happen on this earth here. That's why the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13:10, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. In the end, this is a symbol for you and for me that one day Christ will make our life perfect on the other side. But before that perfection, you and I in the patient need to be full of mercy. How do you get, you see now the character of mercy is coming back? This is very important. If you're not full of mercy, you're going to give a hard time to your spouse, to your relationship. The mercy part is this. I know a lot of people have been running away from church because they're so hurt. Bunch of hypocrites. And they're accused with things. They turn their finger like this. Brother and sister, I learned this in Africa, that when I point my finger to accuse my brother here, do you know, 3 fingers come back to myself. How many of us have walked away from church because my brother has hurt me, but never stop 1 minute and ask this question. When I came to this church, how many people have been hurt because of me and they wouldn't even tell me? If you and I start to ask questions, instead of saying how many people have hurt me and start to say, raise, this is it. And then said, you know what? How many people I knew whom have hurt? And then find out about that, I'll go, raise, forgive me. And that's where you see the mercy being put in practice. And you see the peacemaker being put in practice. But instead of that, because we're trying to build ourselves, it's all about this brother, this sister, that person hurt me, therefore I'm walking away. And that's why, brother and sister, the construction process will take time. It needs patience. And in that construction process, all the being part that Jesus Christ told us about will be put to use when we actually step out of our comfort zone to go in the doing side of mission. Therefore, brother and sister, I don't know what is happening here in your local church, but I do know this. As a guest speaker, I remember one time I went to a church. The first time they invited me to speak there, there were about 300 people. The fifth and last time I walked in there, there were only 3 people. Why? The merciful heart, the peaceful maker has been thrown away because they put so much emphasis on doing mission and neglect the being side. And in the end, even the doing side got overthrown and thrown away because the being side has not been fed. I'm sorry again for this. This is passionate about this because church, we need this. Understand that when you walk in here, you're expecting perfection. That won't happen. If you're looking for perfection, if you ever see a perfect church, don't walk in because you destroy it. Why? You yourself, you're not perfect. If you are perfect, please don't call me to come and preach here. And you can see why God is still working on us. And that's why if I know God is working on us, on me, I'm going to be merciful to my wife Karen because I know the way God is patient with me, I need to be patient with her. And I hope my wife, you'll be patient with me. And the same for all of us. And therefore, brothers and sisters, after taking time in this being side of the church, and understanding that even Christ didn't tell you and me that we'll be perfect on this earth. Here it is. Perfection comes when imperfect disappear. And we know that perfection will come when He comes back in His second term. Brothers and sisters, we're doing side of mission. Mission given to the church won't be complete without we doing side. And that's where we go to our verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt loses. But if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Did you notice that Christ didn't say you are a salt? You are the salt, the only one. Wow. After hearing about our imperfection, you better believe that this is where Christ's grace is shown up to us. You will think before He makes this declaration that you are the only salt on this world, you will all be perfect. And yet we all learn He's still working on us, and we're not perfect. And that's why I love Christ. And this is a very important point for you and for me. If you have been running away from mission because in your mind you need to be perfect first before you get in there, throw away that idea. Christ needs you who you are as He continues to work on you and in you. Step out of your comfort zone and say, Christ, continue to work in me as you continue to use me in my brokenness to other broken people. And therefore, brothers and sisters, how do we become salt to the earth, of the earth? By obeying to Christ. By demonstrating Christ's love and compassion. You know, what are some of the characteristics of salt? I know a lot of us go to Swiss Christian chicken, right? Right. Have you ever enjoyed chicken with a salt on it? Have you ever enjoyed your barbecue with a little bit of salt on it? It's tasteless. The world is tasteless with you and me as followers of Jesus Christ. Wow. The world is in decay if you and I lose our saltness. Salt prevents things to be decayed quickly. Therefore, you and I are needed to practice our faith, our being, so that the decay of the world will slow down. So that the world will be a tasty place. And one of the practical ways of getting that out there. You see, if you were to close all the Christian schools in this country in one day, what would happen to our education system? The world, especially the West, now we're hating Christians. But let those people hate us. Understand this. If you were to close every hospital, every health clinic, every, let's put it this way, university or school system directly related to the church, what happened to this country? I noticed in 1960, 99% of African presidents in 1960, when all our countries became independent in Africa, 99% of our presidents in 1960 were all product of the Christian school. This is one example for you and me to understand that you and I are salt of the world. The world may not understand it, but I tell you, well, let the other crowd show us their universities. Let the other crowd in this world show us their health clinic, welcoming all of us. And let you and me, the disciple of Jesus Christ, in Mali, everywhere in the world, when we shut down our hospital and health and our education center, this world will be in darkness. And therefore, brothers and sisters, let you and I understand that the doing side of mission is also to be light. And light is always something to do with darkness. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deed and praise your Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, how do you become light? Well, light is when you and I accept the gospel of salvation and preach that salvation, that gospel, and the light in the darkness of sin shine. And the light of the gospel tell people what is really sin. We see, when we turn on the light here, we won't see anything. But when you turn on the light of the gospel, people see sin for what it is. It's only the gospel being preached is a light to reveal sin and its consequences to people. But when you turn off that light of the gospel, what happens? Guess what? Sin is not called sin anymore. And that's why, brothers and sisters, North America, are we letting politicians and this society and this culture to define what is sin for us? Only the gospel declare and define sin for us. If we run away from the gospel, we're going to be in the grab of sin and destroy without knowing it. And therefore, let you and I preach and teach the gospel. And yes, brothers and sisters, being and doing mission glorify God. Cicero said, it is not enough to possess its virtue as if it were an error. It should be practiced. Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. It's always glorifying God when you and I are being and doing mission. And yes, we need to answer this question, do we reflect Christ's light and salt in our life? Matthew 5:6-13, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again if it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by man? Brothers and sisters, North American churches, you brought the gospel to us in Mali. You see, and that gospel pointing us in Mali to the living, only living God, Jesus Christ, is real. And now that I'm being blessed to be sent back to you here, I want you to know from Scripture that the God that you introduced to us is real. Don't run away from that God and let the society of this country, the culture of this country, the position of this country define sin for you and for me. If you do, you're losing your saltness of Christ. If you do, you go back to the darkness that you, through your son and daughter, sent to us, drew us out of. I was in darkness with my parents, grandparents, but because of the preaching and the practice of the gospel, you brought us to the light of Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you and I need to understand, yes, that we need to reflect light. And then look at this map today, and I like what my sister said. God, she didn't choose Taiwan. God chose Taiwan for her. And therefore, I'm putting out the world map to you here. The red side of the red color, whatever you see, this is where Christians are very persecuted. Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and even Northern Mali. Today, you don't see Northern Mali in red today. But do you see the being side? Blessed are the persecuted. You see the being side. If you didn't understand the being side persecuted, and you're just talking about doing side, and you get to one of those countries, you will hate God. Again, that's why the being side is so important. But those who are doing mission in this red side today are understanding what Jesus said about being persecuted because of the righteousness, not because of the sin. And yet, every part of this world, including Canada, in white there, this message of meekness, poor in spirit, pure in heart, need to be preached everywhere for meekness, for mercy, everywhere. And you and I are needed. And therefore, here it is for you. Look at this map and ask yourself this question. God, what country, what part of this world are you picking for me to invest myself in? And this is serious. This is your practical style of this sermon when you go home. And I believe you all have a world map. Go and unfold this world map. Don't rush it. If God is not revealing any country to you, keep on praying. God, I'm just available. But I do want myself not to be wasted. I don't want the life that you have given me not to be wasted. I want that salt to make someone's life tasty in this part of this world. I want the light of Christ in me, giving light to someone in one of those parts of the world. Yes, that's what Herbert Cain, he says this. The need of the world are deep-seated and of long-standing. They cry out for amelioration. The church, if it is to be loyal to Christ, cannot pass by on the other side, as the priest and the Levite did. The church cannot be true to its own gospel if it turns a deaf ear to the cry of need, whatever that need may be. May the Lord help you to define that need of the part of the world He's sending you, He's picking up for you. And as I showed you before, for my part, this is the part of the world God chose for me. From a Canadian, I showed you part of this picture before. This is in a tiny way how God is using my wife, myself, and some of you through your prayer and your donation, and some people going alongside with me to Mali to be salt. And I showed you this picture before. The lady walked in, completely covered, her face covered, coming from the crowd, not from the disciple. And yet, we have to show mercy. We have to show care. We have to show tenderness by being salt and light to Christ, to her. And you know, and in the end, I like that. It's for glorifying God. And I told you about another Canadian. We sent 250 wheelchairs for disabled people. And on each chair, in Latin, this is what he put on each chair, Soli Deo Gloria, to God be the glory. And you know you're being a missionary, you're doing a missionary, all goes to being faithful to the Lord and to glorify God. And you see, we didn't force this gentleman to be a Christian, but you know what? He tasted the goodness of Jesus Christ. He tasted the salt of Jesus Christ. He saw the light of Jesus Christ. And you know, again, I don't even know how old this lady, girl was. I would say about 5 years old in Mali. So do Gloria. Whatever way God wants you to express to meet the need, this is what the businessman told. But he is not a preacher or teacher. He chose to put this word there. And brothers and sisters, the world still needs you, yourself, and your light. I will take this picture as an example of a need of the world. And you think about it as you pray. And brothers and sisters, as we continue, this was the last class of last year for the kindergarten we started in Bamako in Mali. And you know, again, those Canadians went with me. They didn't give wheelchairs. In most cases, they didn't give money. But you know what? They went to pray. They prayed not to idol in Mali. They pray to the living Jesus Christ and give their salt and light. Again, it's another way for you to see, you know what? You're not safe to sit. There are so many ways that God wants you to put your salt in your life. And yes, your contribution to Christ's global mission. And how can you do that? Live your life as salt and light of Christian, of Christ, so that you are making the greatest contribution you can to Christ's global mission. Start a team or join a team. I believe my sister is joining a team. For some of us, we are to start a team. But even that team cannot stand on its own. It has to be connected to a church like yours, like my local church. And yet, to be a world Christian will help influence his, her church, family, friend, in fruitful way for global mission. And therefore, brothers and sisters, this is what the Lord has put on my heart for you and for myself. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? If yes is your answer, are you still part of a crowd? Or are you part of a disciple being taught to be poor in spirit, to be peacemaker, to be merciful, and to even accept to be persecuted because of your righteousness? Not persecuted because you've been caught stealing, but persecuted because you trust in Jesus Christ. And as you go in the country that God is picking up for you, that you will have the joy and the privilege to glorify God by practicing the peaceful maker heart, the merciful heart. And as you do so, the God will show salt to the life of someone and light of salvation to someone. So that when everything is said and done, we will all worship together one day in heaven. Therefore, brothers and sisters, now is the time to be who you are in Christ and to do what Christ wants you to be in your Taiwan, in your Mali. God bless you and thank you for your mercy being practiced for the 5 minutes extra I took from you. In Jesus' name, amen.